Today's reading comes from Philippians 4, verses 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Bless the reading of his word.
This was a lectionary passage for today. You get four you can pick from, and I chose Philippians, and partly chose it because of Christmas joy and rejoicing, but it was kind of a personal thing for me. I have a little anxiety lately and going through some things in my life, and it happens to all of us. And in this passage, you know, as a preacher, sometimes you think, well, I'm preaching to everyone, I want to speak to everyone else, but I love it at times when it's almost feel like it's just for me and you just happen to be here. About this time of year, we get a little frantic. Christmas is so near. So much to do. It's a hectic time for many of us. The season of Advent was supposed to be a chance for us to calm down and get ready. But in another 12 days, it will be over. And that big day will be here. All the decorations will be in place. The packages will be wrapped. The last card will have been sent. Then ready or not, here it comes. Christmas Eve and Christmas will be here. And I ask you, are you prepared for Christmas? I mean the real Christmas, not the Christmas of Santa Claus and reindeer and tinsels and expensive gifts and as wonderful as all that may be. Are you prepared for the coming and the celebration of Jesus? In Philippians 4, Paul gives us a comprehensive formula, I think, for finding peace during this Christmas season. A peace which he says transcends all understanding. And I believe you can only find a true, real peace when you have a relationship with the Lord. Let's begin with rejoice in the Lord always. And I love the choir singing that. It was so special. Christmas is a time of joy. St. Paul's admonition about rejoicing in the Lord was no denial of the presence of suffering in this world. Paul wrote this letter from prison. He was essentially on death row. Paul had an amazing spirit. Three times he was shipwrecked. At least once he was stoned. And I'm not talking about the Denver, Colorado type of stone. I'm talking about stone with rocks trying to kill him. There was no fun in this one. He was beaten many times. He'd been the focus of riots and death threats, and after a harrowing near-death experience, he was even bitten by a snake. Yet these experiences did not take away Paul's ultimate joy. It's obvious from Paul's example that joy does not mean that everything is going your way. Joy does not mean receiving everything that you desire in this life. Joy doesn't mean having an enormous haul of goodies under the Christmas tree on Christmas morning. Joy instead comes from an inner assurance that whatever you're going through, whether good times or bad times, God is there with you. I know that joy is a difficult concept for some people, especially at Christmas time. There's actually more suicide. There was Christmas Eve last year, and the lady in my neighborhood told me her husband had gone in the backyard and shot himself. Christmas Eve. And I just got a message that a lady hung herself just this week. Sometimes when we get near the holiday season, instead of rejoicing and being happy, people instead go the other way. And one of the most depressing facts about Christmas for these people is the fact that they see everyone else as jolly and they don't feel the jolliness with themselves, the happiness, the peace. There are persons who have lost the ability to laugh. They've lost the ability to rejoice in the Lord. They may not be misers, but they have a great deal of some of them the sense of Scrooge in them, much like the Grinch that stole Christmas. Something in life has made them afraid, afraid to trust life, afraid to trust other people, even afraid to trust God. Dr. Raymond Moody put it this way in his book, Laugh After Laugh. It's well to recognize that some people are actually fearful of joy, of elation, of pleasure, are usually are afraid of positive emotional state of being. And many of these people, being joyful causes them to have a sense of guilt, a sense of shame and unworthiness. And I think that's sad, to be fearful of being joyful and happy, unworthy of experiencing happiness. And sometimes even followers of Christ are like this. A group of missionaries were sent to a tribal group in Africa, and these missionaries told the tribe that once they were baptized, once they became Christians, they were no longer allowed to dance. They became known as the people who have given up dancing. I think that's so sad. Some people are afraid to be happy. They nurture their fears, their resentments, their hurts. They shut themselves off from others and live as little islands unto themselves. They cannot experience the joy of Christmas because they have not seen and they have not felt that Christ has set them free. They need to be like the quiet young writer who came to the wily, uninhibited Zorba the Greek and said to him, "Teach me to dance." If there ever was a time for dancing, it is at Christmas time. And you look through the Old Testament and it talks about the people dancing before God. The Lord of the heavens and earth has come into our world as a tiny babe. What a supreme need and reason for celebration in our lives. Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice." Paul says, "Let your gentleness be evident to all." That's a very interesting thought, I think. Advent and Christmas are a time for gentleness. We may not think of it like that, unless, of course, you're headed to the mall shopping and fist fight breaks out and somebody grabs a toy and somebody else is grabbing a toy or a television and they're pushing you to the floor and try to run to the counter, or opening the doors and there's a stampede and people are run over, some hurt. Some people have actually done that. It's just sometimes it's hard to comprehend. You're missing Christmas. You're missing it. I read about two nicely dressed women who were standing outside of an apartment store one day waiting for it to open. And one of them, they began a conversation, and one lady was rather smug. She happened to be from New York City. And she was married to a very wealthy man, and the second was a rather gentle, soft-spoken woman from the South. When the conversation centered on what was expected at Christmas, the wealthy woman started by saying, "You know, on our first Christmas after we were married, my husband bought me a mansion." And the southern lady just kind of looked at her and said, "Well, bless your heart." She said, "Our second Christmas, my husband bought me a beautiful Mercedes Benz." Southern lady said, "Well, bless your heart." Then the third Christmas, my husband bought me this exquisite diamond bracelet. Southern lady said again, "Well, bless your heart." The woman then asked her, "What did your husband buy you for your first Christmas?" The southern lady replied, "My husband sent me to charm school." And the other lady said, "Charm school? What in the earth, in the world, did he send you to charm school for?" And the southern lady replied, "Well, for example, instead of saying, 'I don't give a rip what you got for Christmas,'" "I just learned to say, 'Well, bless your heart.'" And bless your heart is a southern thing. We've all felt like that at times, I know. Gentleness may be a little difficult in this mad rush of the season, no matter whether you're from the north or from the south, east, or the west. We need to step back and reflect on the thought of the baby being born and what it means to us and what it means to the world. We don't often think of the gentleness of God, but how else can we think of God at Christmas time? We know about God's power, we know about His holiness, but how often do we think of His gentleness? Yet at this time, that the same God who created the heavens and the earth, He became one of us. He came into our world in the form of a baby. So how can we possibly get our minds around something like that? And yet it's part of the Christmas magic. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near, writes Paul. A soldier in the Israeli army was on patrol in the area occupied by the Palestinians. When he felt a rock strike him in the back, then another one just almost in rapid fire. Boom, boom, boom. He whirled around, his rifle ready to fire. Then there, standing in front of him, were three small Palestinian boys. What was he going to do? He couldn't shoot children with live ammunition, but he couldn't have them continue to throw rocks at him either. Suddenly he had an idea. He bent down and he picked up the three rocks that they had thrown at him. And he began to juggle them. The children were mesmerized and forgot about their rocks and throwing them. And the soldier did a few more tricks and the children began to laugh. Then he did a grand finale and they applauded and he took a bow. Tension was broke. He walked away. No more rocks were thrown. You know, that story could have had a different ending. Easily could have had a different ending. We've seen confrontations and shootings in our own land in the past few years that have far different violent endings. But it doesn't have to be that way. We could have the gentleness of Christ, the gentleness that transforms anger to laughter and hatred to love. That's the kind of gentleness Paul is urging us to adopt in our lives. Then he writes, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." No wonder Paul could rejoice. Even while being in prison, he learned his faith. No wonder when people abused him, when they beat him and said all manner of things about him, he could respond with joy and with gentleness. He had learned one of life's greatest secrets. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Have you gone through a difficult time when your spirits were flagging, when you felt down in the dumps, or maybe you felt even true depression, ready to give up? Did you stop for a moment and try to give thanks to God, even in the midst of your difficult times? It should be so easy to be thankful at Christmas. We have so much. Santa will reward you with presents under the tree at Christmas. Stores are filled with the symbols of material wealth. But for some people, wealth only masks their spiritual poverty. They grasp at things external because internally they feel unhappy. They feel poor. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Could you give thanks this Christmas if some of the things that you cherish the most were taken away from you? How about your sight? Or your hearing? Even your speech? There was a little girl who was born in 1880 in Alabama. We know now Helen Keller. She came into a dark world without sight, without hearing, without the ability to speak. And I cannot even imagine that. I can't even imagine it. What a dark world it was for this little girl. But one of the success stories of our age is how Helen Keller came out of that inner darkness into a light that you and I must view with astonishment. never with physical eyes seeing the light of the sun that we see, never hearing the sounds that we hear, never speaking the words that we have the ability to speak. And Helen Keller knew a joy that few people attain. She learned how to lay aside every anxiety and in every situation with prayer and petition and thanksgiving present her requests to God. Rejoice in the Lord always, writes St. Paul. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer, petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Then St. Paul, at the prompting, certainly of the Holy Spirit, makes us a promise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. May it be so this Christmas. Advent and Christmas for you, I hope they will be full of joy and love and peace and gentleness, and also for your loved ones. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. May God bless you. Amen.